You won't find the Mordechais on the list of legendary Jewish families in American history. They established no lasting institutions, and they were unsuccessful at business. But there is a fascinating story in the keen desire of their Revolutionary-era patriarch to embrace America while retaining his family's identity as Jews. That struggle was more difficult for generations who followed. Writer Emily Bingham reveals how seemingly ordinary people can be extraordinary. Her book is titled Mordechai, which is spelled like the biblical Mordecai.
The family was in the process of Americanizing the way so many countless families have over the centuries, and that was their adaptation. They kept their spelling, but they changed the pronunciation. And I tell the story over three generations of their finding their identity and establishing their place in this new nation, starting with the, you know, period where it was born and going through the Civil War, which almost tore it apart.
You say at the time of the Revolution, there were only, what, 3,000 Jews in the country and no rabbis?
That's right. So being a Jew here was a new proposition. It was not the European story that we're familiar of pogroms and shtetls and ghettos with the kind of prejudice and anti-Semitism that was so rife there. It was a place where sort of the page was open. What did it mean to be Jewish in a new nation like this? It was something that the Mordechais were trying very hard to figure out.
And they were kind of remarkable for their unremarkability.
Well, yes. I mean, I would say that, you know, there are many families that have the kind of experience that this family did in trying to establish a sense of security and economic base, which, you know, is the story of America, the opportunities that were offered. On the other hand, they had some family characteristics that carried them through. And one of those was education. They were passionate about education. They were passionate about creating a family life and a home that mirrored what they thought the nation needed to do and be, which was virtuous and hardworking, supportive of one another, and also always striving to improve. So those values and characteristics carried their ambitions really quite far. So, for instance, you have the patriarch, Jacob Mordechai, who came south and didn't do very well in business, but was able to apply his intellectual gifts to opening a boarding school for girls in early 19th century North Carolina.
Nobody educated girls then.
Well, it was just starting. It really was, in a formal way. And that was an era when finally people were beginning to make some arguments for female education. And then, say, his daughter, Rachel, who really is the linchpin of this book, who was self-educated, very ambitious in her own life, and who inspired one of the best-known writers of her day to write the first novel on the psychological roots of anti-Semitism.
And this was a family that wrote everything down.
Right, and that was the blessing for me as a historian, that they were living in a time where the art of letter writing was reaching its apex. And because they spread out somewhat geographically, and there were 13 children in this middle generation, they kept in touch and helped their family together through these frequent letters that are, you know, large sheets of paper covered with tiny manuscript.
When Jacob's first wife died, Jacob the patriarch, he wrote a letter to his children, and this forged a bond among them. This was what you describe as a covenant.
Yeah, it's an amazing document. Certainly it was preserved by the family, in fact, copied over, and that gives a sense to how highly it was valued. It was written in 1796, and Judy, the mother of the first six of Jacob's children, had died after childbirth. It left the family really in a terrible position because she played such an enormous role in cultivating who this family was and how they would survive in the backwoods of North Carolina. But in the covenant, he said, we have to stick together. He described the life and the death of their mother, Judy, who was a remarkable woman and who some of them were not old enough to really know. So he needed them to understand who she was, that she had come with him to the South, that she was behind this journey and this risk, really, that she wanted them to always improve themselves, always pay tribute to God in some way every day, to stick together by one another in thick and thin. And really the project of the next several decades was how to fulfill the dream that Judy had.
Jacob wants so desperately for his family to be assimilated into America, but not to be assimilated into Christianity. It's that big contradiction.
It's obviously something that people live with up to this very moment. And that's where I think there's a relevant story. Even though this is a story that happens 200 years ago, it's a story that has resonance for us today.
Why are you writing this? You're the most Episcopalian person I know.
I started with Rachel because I was interested especially in women's experience. And in fact, a little bit had been written about this family, but it was all about the men. And what I found was that the women were at the center of things, and Rachel was at the center of the women. And I'm very interested in the way that children affect parents just as much as parents affect children. And as parents, we read all these advice books and that tell us how to affect our children. Nobody talks about how we are shaped and changed by our children and by being parents. And this happened all through the Mordecai family. And look at Jacob. He had no idea he would be tested by his children as he was.
You cover three generations here, roughly from the Revolution till just after the Civil War. Where are they now? Are there descendants of this family around?
There are descendants of the Mordecais, and some call themselves Mordecai, and some call themselves Mordecai, interestingly. And their name is on everything from a website on the founding of Madera County, California, where one of them went after the Civil War, to fellowships at Duke University and a historic house in Raleigh, North Carolina, that's open to the public. But I have met some family members and look forward to meeting more.
Emily Bingham is the author of Mordecai, An Early American Family. Mordecai is spelled Mordecai. An excerpt from the book is at npr.org. This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards.